Thank you, Barry. Good job, Barry. Move some things here. Grab this. A little bit of housekeeping here. Make sure nothing else has to be cleaned up before we get started. Whew. When my legs stop shaking, then I'll get started. It's been a while since I've played on the piano, so a little shaky right now. But I'll relax here in a few minutes. I love my church. I want to continue this series. I love my church. And I love being a part of this church. It's a great place. And I love being the preacher of this church. And it still amazes me that this shy, quiet teenager years ago who didn't like to be in front of people to do anything is preaching. And for a lot of years, I have to say I ran away from preaching because I thought, you know, that's a lot of sermons to have to preach almost every Sunday for a year. And April 1st, I crossed 7 years as the preaching minister here. And so I am amazed. I'm amazed that near 350 sermons, I still have something left to say. Because Becky will tell you, I'm not a man of a lot of words. So she takes care of all that in our household. So. Well, as we dig in this series, I want to focus on worshiping with others, worshiping together. Now, you have to admire the commitment. Week after week, John, like many others, makes the decision to attend. He wouldn't miss it. However, on one day, the weather was terrible. The rain was coming down in buckets. It was in the 40s. And because the weather was so treacherous that day, he was late. And he was late to a seat. Finally made it to a seat, and the seat was uncomfortable, but he didn't care. He loved being there. He didn't even complain or leave. He stayed. His presence demonstrated his love and commitment. In fact, he was joyous, excited the whole time. He enjoyed the presence of fellow believers around him. His attitude, his attendance, and his enthusiasm all reflected his commitment. He was at a college football game on a Saturday afternoon. Unfortunately, he couldn't make it to church the next day. He was tired and there was a 40% chance of rain. Now we find, as we turn to Acts chapter 2, if you would, turn with me to Acts chapter 2. I want to use this to set up our message, but then I want to start go take us to another book and chapter, but we'll get there in a minute. We're going to start here in Acts chapter 2, verses 37 through 47. This is my new preaching Bible. It's an ESV, an English Standard Version, so you might have something different. You can read right along. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 37. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, but not just for you, it's for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to Himself." And with many other words he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, "Save yourselves from this crooked generation." So those who received His word were baptized, and there were added that day about 3,000 souls. Now listen to the rest of this. Here, Peter preached the first gospel message, and they responded to it. And then they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. And all came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were being done through the apostles. And all who believed were together and had all things in common, and they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing their proceeds to all as any had need. Now listen to this. They just couldn't get enough of church. They couldn't get enough of each other. And day after day, attending the temple together and breaking bread in their homes, they received their food with glad and generous hearts, praising God and having favor with all the people. They couldn't get enough time together. They couldn't get enough of each other. They couldn't get enough of the church. And they were praising God, and they found such favor with the people outside of the church that people couldn't help but want to be a part of it. They were drawn to it. And the Lord added to their number day by day those who were being saved. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the early church. There's certainly great enthusiasm right after the resurrection. There's great enthusiasm following that first message on Acts 2 when 3,000 accepted the message and were baptized into Christ for the forgiveness of their sins, to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And you added to the church that day, 3,000. And there was such a great momentum. They wanted to be together. They wanted to study together. They wanted to love one another. They wanted to praise you together day after day. And I pray that you would burn that enthusiasm in us. Restore that enthusiasm in us. Speak to us today. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, with this being Holy Week, I really want to turn our attention to Luke 23. I began preparing this message in Acts 2, and I wanted to go ahead and read that to set this up as we see the enthusiasm of the early church toward worship and togetherness. But with this being Holy Week, I was drawn to the cross, Luke 23, beginning with verse 32. Follow along or listen carefully as we go to the cross, the crucifixion. Two others who were criminals were led away to be put to death with him. And when they had came to the place that is called the skull, there they crucified him. And the criminals, one on his right and one on his left. And Jesus said, Father, forgive them. For they know not what they do. And they cast lots to divide his garments. And the people stood by watching, but the ruler scoffed at him, saying, He saved others, let him save himself, if he is the Christ of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine, and saying, If you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, This is the King of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged railed at him, saying, Are you not the Christ? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, Do you not fear God, since you are under the same sentence of condemnation? And we indeed justly, for we are receiving the due reward of our deeds. But this man has done nothing wrong. And he said, Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. And he said to him, Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise. It was now about the sixth hour, and there was darkness over the whole land until the ninth hour, while the sun's light failed and the curtain of the temple was torn in two. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And having said this, he breathed his last. As we go to the cross, we see three crosses. We see three being crucified. One, Jesus, who as the one criminal said, he is innocent. And there's one criminal that mocks him right along with the crowd and the soldiers. And a third who acknowledges Him as the Savior. Now, when we worship, we are attributing worth to. Now, God's worth and value is not contingent upon our worship. But when we worship, we are expressing His value to us. We are attributing worth to God, what He means to us. And how you treat this experience is influenced by the worth you attribute to God. Now, if worship is attributing worth toward, we see one on the cross who denied the worth of God. He denied the worth of God. Have you ever been somewhere that you didn't want to be? Probably the hospital would be up there at the top of the list, unless you were giving birth. It sure beats giving birth in a car. You want to be there. But the ER or the hospital probably ranks up there pretty high as one of those places you don't want to be. It makes me think of that commercial, when you really need to get away, when you want to get away, that airline commercial. Maybe it's a scheduled root canal. Not very many people say, well, I can't wait to get in that dentist chair. I can't wait to get these four wisdom teeth cut out. Now, I've not experienced that. I had one wisdom tooth. Maybe that says something. I don't know. I had one. They cut it out, and then I had tacos later for dinner. So, piece of cake. No problem. I'm going to be 51 next week, turned 50 last year, and I found out it's a little bit rocky on this side of the hill. Ronnie Jones says it's greased on this side, but it's bumpy even though it's greasy and you slide through. It's a little bumpy on this side of the hill. I had my physical in January. Being 50, my doctor said, we're going to schedule you for a colonoscopy. We think that's a good thing for you. Great. I'd never been put under for anything. I wasn't really looking forward to that. In fact, I rescheduled it twice. A couple weeks ago, I was in the hospital making a visit, and in walked a doctor, and he says, hi, I'm Dr. Duckworth. I said, Dr. Duckworth, well, I'm coming to see you next week for a colonoscopy. He said, well, that's a smart thing to do. Now, if I'd have thought of it, I said, well, next week you'll get to see another side of me. Well, that propofol, that's a great sleep. I tell you what, I was a little upset when they woke me up. I was in the middle of a good dream. Well, this guy was in a pretty big predicament. He was being nailed to a cross, not someplace he wanted to be. Look how they treated Jesus before he made it to the cross. Matthew 27:27-29. Then the governor's soldiers took Jesus into the praetorium and gathered the whole company of soldiers around him. They stripped him and put a scarlet robe on him, and then twisted together a crown of thorns and set it on his head. They put a staff in his right hand, and they knelt in front of him and mocked him. Hail, King of the Jews, they said. They dressed him up like a king. But in mockery, as they worshipped this king, and the one criminal, he joined right along with them, mocking him and hurling insults. And the sad thing is, we can be just like this criminal when we don't value our Creator enough to worship Him. When we go through the motions of worship without really worshiping Him. When we value the room, the furniture, the chairs, the pews, the instruments, the style, the songs, way more than we worship the King. When we attribute more value to us, when we deny Jesus for our sake, rather than deny us for the sake of Jesus. In denying the significance of worship, in denying the God of worship, and in creating our own idols, we mock the one we should be attributing worth to. One on the cross denied the worth of God. And there was one on the cross who attributed worth to God. verses 40 and following in Luke 23. But the other rebuked him, saying, "Do you not fear God? You're under the same condemnation. And we deserve what we are receiving. But this man has done nothing wrong." And he looked to Jesus and said, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he said, "Truly I say to you, today you will be with me in paradise." Now some say he was saved under the old covenant, since the new covenant, New Testament, was not yet in effect. True, he was under the old covenant, but he still found salvation in Jesus, in the one who had the power to grant salvation. To Zacchaeus he spoke, "Today salvation has come to this house," Luke 19. To the paralytic in Mark 2, he not only healed him physically, but he forgave him his sins. He healed him to show the teachers of the law that he had the power on earth to forgive sin. Now after the resurrection, Jesus left us a way in which we can identify with him on the cross without being next to him on the cross. He gave us a way to identify with his death, burial, and resurrection. As we identify with his death, we call out to him. Jesus said, "He that believes and is baptized will be saved," Mark 16. He said, "Go and make disciples, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit," Matthew 28. Peter in Acts 2, as we read, said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you." Ananias told Saul, who became the Apostle Paul, "What are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, washing your sins away, calling on the name of the Lord," Acts 22. Romans 6 tells us that we identify with the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus in baptism. It is a worship of what Jesus did for us on the cross. In baptism, we are attributing worth to Jesus, value to Jesus and what he did for us. In baptism, we say, "Thank you for dying for me. I am now dying for you." In communion, we say, "Thank you for dying for me. I am now dying for you." In worship, we say, "Thank you for dying for me. I am now dying for you. I am dying to self. I am giving myself to you. I am yours." When we serve the homeless, when we care for widows and orphans, when we visit those in prison, when we feed the hungry, we are attributing worship, worth to Jesus, who said, "When you've done it unto the least of these, you've done it unto me." The one on the cross who attributed worth to Jesus, to God in the flesh, rebuked the other. Would he turn to you and rebuke you? Would he say, "Why aren't you obedient? Why do you mock me? Why do you mock Jesus by going through the motions of worship and giving very little of yourself to him?" Jesus put it this way in Luke 6:46. "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? Why do you call me Lord, but ignore what I've called you to do?" For many Christians, so many activities have become mandatory, while the worship has become an optional afterthought. Jesus met a woman at the well, and he knew everything about her, the Samaritan woman. And she was amazed at how much he knew about her, that he told her her life story. He revealed her life story to you, and he knows your story. He knows everything about you, and that can be scary. The last words he spoke to her are found in John 4:23-24. "Yet a time is coming and has now come when the true worshipers will worship the Father in the Spirit and in truth. For they are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. God is Spirit, and his worshipers must worship in the Spirit and in truth." A declaration of the commitment of worship. And it is an incredible statement of God's own desire for us to worship him. It is a priority of God. It certainly should be one of our priorities. One on the cross mocked. The other attributed worth. And one on the cross attributed worth to you. One on the cross attributed worth to you. Some of you may remember 25 years ago, Joan London was on Good Morning America, and she featured one day, extraordinary gifts you might want to include on your Christmas list. One of them was a Jaguar XJ220. They only made 271. They only lasted for a couple of years, made them for a couple of years. They were just too expensive, the recession at that time. But if you wanted one, you had to put down an $80,000 deposit. And then when you picked up your car, you'd have to pay the remaining $587,000 payment. She mentioned that if you wanted to purchase such an automobile, you might also be interested in a new car wax that promises to give it the ultimate shine. It retails for $3,400 for an 8-ounce can. So I guess if you can afford a $587,000 automobile, you can spend $3,400 pocket change for wax. A third item she mentioned was a $300,000 gold and silver toilet seat inlaid with precious stones. Of course, there were cheaper gifts for those who have everything. I guess if you can afford a $300,000 toilet seat, you have everything. You have more than you need. But you could buy an $18,000 Frisbee, a $10,000 yo-yo, a $12,000 mouse trap. Really? I guess if you're going to have a mouse trap in your mansion, you want it to look good. And even a $27,000 pair of sunglasses. Boy, wouldn't you hate to sit on those? And for the proud grandparent who is wondering what to buy the new grandbaby, how about a $28,000 pacifier? Now, as a grandparent, you might think your first grandbaby's worth that, but kind of crazy, $28,000 for a pacifier. As ridiculous as these gifts may sound, they can't even compare to the gift that God gave for you. Priceless. Why? Because you're worth it. To Him, you are worth every hammer pounded into that nail in His feet. You are worth every pounding of the nails in His hands. You are worth every thorn that was pressed into His skull. All for you. Several years ago, there was a 14-year-old girl, Laura Montero, whose family was on a cruise, and her appendix burst. They didn't have an ER, they didn't have an operating room on the cruise ship, but to save her life, they needed to get her to an operating room, an OR, as quickly as possible. Miles from the nearest hospital, they sent out a distress call. And 500 miles away, the USS Ronald Reagan, an aircraft carrier, was performing exercises. They answered the call. The 6,000 stopped what they were doing. They turned that aircraft carrier in the direction of the cruise ship. And overnight, they made it within 250 miles of that cruise ship, close enough to send a helicopter to bring the girl back to the carrier and to the operating room in the belly of that ship. And there they saved her life. The cost? $2.5 million to get that aircraft carrier within range of saving her life. Was she worth the $250 million? Absolutely. Did they get a bill for that? No, they didn't. Because she was worth it. Just as you are worth the price Jesus paid for you. In a couple of weeks, on the 23rd, I'd like to have an unofficial commitment Sunday. It's unofficial. Nobody's going to be held accountable. It's not going to go on your file. But really to finish up this series, I Love My Church. Because I am a member of the body of Christ, I must do my part. As a functioning member, I will give. I will serve. I will minister. I will study. I will remember that if one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. If one member is honored, all the members rejoice with it. I make this pledge to do my part. 1 Corinthians 12. I make this pledge to be a source of unity in the church. Colossians 3:14. I make this pledge to grow with others. 2 Peter 3:18. I make this pledge to pray for the church family and pray for the lost. 1 Thessalonians 5:17. I make this pledge to invite others to my church. Luke 14:23. I make this pledge to be all in, submitting to God's will. Luke 9:23. I make this pledge to go and serve those in need. Matthew 25:35. I make this pledge to worship with others. John 4:23-24. An unofficial commitment card. And on the back of that, I have the today card. It used to say someday, marked out some, and today. We used this last year. Make your someday today. Someday I'm going to bring my membership. Someday I'm going to give my life to Christ. Someday I'm going to be baptized by immersion. Someday I'm going to... So make that someday today. And we have some of these someday cards right up here. And this is what we did last year. During the invitation time, the band's coming up and we're going to sing here in a moment. And you can bring, you can come up here and fill out one of these today cards and place it in our prayer vase. Today I want to be baptized for the forgiveness of sins and the receiving of the Holy Spirit. And if you want to do that today, don't wait till someday, do it today. You can bring the card to me. Or if you put it in there and if you're not comfortable in front of everybody, I will find this and I will connect with you after the service. I want to place my membership at Gethsemane Church of Christ. I am an immersed believer. I want to return to a right relationship with Jesus and live consistently with wearing the name Christian. I want to begin the following in my life to take my relationship with Jesus to the next level and write it in there. Or prayer. Today I need prayer for. And you can write out your prayer. And we'd love to pray for you. So we're going to stand together. We're going to sing the song, I Come to the Altar. You know, we don't have altars in the New Testament because Jesus did away with that old covenant worship where they continually offered offerings. He became the offering once for all. The cross became our altar where our sacrifice, the sacrifice made on our behalf, was laid. Jesus. But throughout the Old Testament, we see that they would set up an altar and set apart land for the Lord. So any place where you say, I'm going to set myself apart for the Lord, we can call it an altar, but really our altar is the cross of Jesus. And so come to the cross of Jesus as we stand together and sing.